bring Christian greetings to each of you this morning. I think my voice is about an octave lower and maybe coming and going. It's like I've got a little bottle of Poho oil in one pocket and a bottle of Fisherman's Friends in the other. But I'm thankful that we can serve the Lord in joy and look forward to His guidance and blessings throughout another day. I'd like to look over into 1 Peter if you want to turn with us. First Peter, the first chapter. I'd like to think about one of the most wonderful ways to have Christian victory through our lives. As we read this scripture, a song came to my mind, and I don't know if you all know the song. I looked in both of our books and wasn't there. I thought maybe it was. Probably you know it. How many of you know the song, "I Will Praise Him"? Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Okay, I see some hands going up back there. It's always meant a lot to me back through the years. And I think it's one of the greatest ways for Christian victory is if we count our many blessings, name them one by one, and praise the Lord for what He's done for us and what He's doing for us. I'm going to read just a few verses of the song before we start in the scripture, because I'd like to have this in our minds as we think of what the scripture has for us here. When I saw the cleansing fountain open wide for all my sin, I obeyed the Spirit's wooing when He said, "Wilt thou be clean?" And the chorus says, "I will praise Him, I will praise Him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away each stain. Though the way seemed straight and narrow, all I claimed was swept away. My ambitions, plans, and wishes at my feet in ashes lay. Then God's fire upon the altar of my heart was set aflame. I shall never cease to praise Him. Glory, glory to His name. Blessed be the name of Jesus. I'm so glad He took me in. He's forgiven my transgressions. He has cleansed my heart from sin." It's a wonderful testimony, isn't it? And then the chorus again, "I will praise Him, I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all you people, for His blood can wash away each stain." Let's just look here at the scripture. Maybe before we start reading, let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we come with thankful hearts to Thee this morning for the privilege of being able to gather together here with Thy people. We're so thankful for the precious blood of Jesus that has been the price that has been paid for our salvation, that we might be ready for heaven, a people that are a holy people with holy hearts, ready for a holy city. We pray that Thou will have Thy way with us now this morning. Speak to us, draw us up close to Thee. Help us, Lord, to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. That was Peter's introduction in his letter here to the different ones here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Sort of answers all the questions in our scripture and Sunday school lesson this morning. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That's you and me both. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And I just stop here to say, you know, the pressure is on. The temptations are many, because iniquity shall abound. The love of many is going to wax cold. Some people are just going to cave in. Some people are going to take the easier out. That any place, if you have to confront sin or confront your own needs, they'll just take the easy route. But here he says, even if we have this heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And there's no comparison when we think of gold and pearls, money, all the things the world can offer are really cheap compared to the peace that passeth all understanding, joy unspeakable and full of glory, something in the life that satisfies the soul. I never cease to, it just seems like in these hot days, I'll go get me a big glass of cold water. And I don't know if it's this way you do it or not, but I take my glass, and I've got a pretty good sized glass that I have, and I fill it completely full of ice, completely full. Now, some of you may not do that at all, but I fill it clear up, and then I stick it under the faucet and run around over it, and it pops and crackles and sort of settles down. And it's so satisfying to have something that satisfies my thirst. Take a big sip and set it down. There's nothing like a good cold drink of water. Not even Dr. Pepper. Not even coffee. But it satisfies. It satisfies my physical thirst. But I'm thankful the Lord has something that satisfies even deeper than that. My spiritual thirst. As I hunger and I thirst after God, and we may go through manifold temptations and go through fiery trials. The scripture speaks about those fiery trials are more precious than gold that perisheth. Though it be tried with fire, it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Our salvation will be complete on that last great day. Some people have called it, I've heard them say, there's sanctification, let's see, regeneration, justification, regeneration, a number of different steps, regeneration, sanctification, and the last one is glorification, when our salvation is complete. Now, I believe when a person gets really saved, you're saved, you are a real Christian, but I believe that we grow in grace until that last great day, and we see him face to face. and that we might be found with praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I don't think there's going to be more praise any time, any ever, than what it will be like when God's children from all around this whole world are gathered together, thousands of them, millions of them, and they look up in adoration to the King, to Jesus, their Savior, the one that made it possible through His precious blood that they can make it into the city of God. And I believe there's going to be such reverence, and the Scripture speaks about over in Revelation, they say, "Holy, holy, holy is the King, Lord God Almighty, the Lord of hosts." There have been people that would make great orations, and kings and different ones like that, and the people out there would raise their voices and praise to them. What was it, Herod, that did that? And he didn't give glory to God, and he was struck down, and he was eaten by worms because he didn't give glory to God. He took the glory on himself that he was some great one, and he was praised by all these people. But one of these days, that little song is going to be even clearer to us when we look out there and we say, from right now, this point on all the way, I will praise Him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all you people, for His blood can wash away and will wash away. And it's good to say it does wash away right now, presently, my sins, every stain. The Lord is able to save us to the uttermost and give us an inheritance among those who are sanctified in the city of God. Now let's look just a little bit further in verse 8. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And this sort of caps it off here in verse 9, says, receiving the end of your faith. Faith looks forward to reality and to the real thing. Faith grips it through the promises of God. The promises of God that it is true, it's right, and gives us hope. And then he says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. There's coming the day when those that have turned their hearts over to the Lord with no reservations, forgetting all their bitterness and stubbornness and carnality and all that washed away in the blood of Jesus, and laying aside all the weights and the sins that would beset them, and as they slip through the gates of that city and the gates of heaven are closed behind them, and all the infirmities of the flesh and all the pressures down here in this world are left behind, then he says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Then as we enter in and we know that we're safe home, we don't have to worry anymore about something stealing away our first love, our treasure, or us losing our souls. It's finished. It's all done. The work was accomplished on the cross, and it will be completed when our journey is finished and we're in the city of God and the gates of heaven are closed to all, anything that would defile. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified before and the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto ourselves or themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. You and I are experiencing some things that the angels of God desired to look into. This great salvation this marvelous salvation. They know Jesus. They know the Father. They've been there. They've attended to whatever they needed to attend to there in the courts of heaven. But they have even desired to look into this and see more about this great salvation that they haven't experienced like what you and I have. It's something that sometimes we don't grasp what God has done for us and how great it is and how the work has been accomplished and paid for on the cross of Calvary. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust. I'm glad it's like Paul said. In other words, leaving those things behind. They're behind me. I've confessed my sins. I've repented of my sins. And now I've struck out with my face fixed like a flint to go through with the Lord. And those are the former things. I have no desire to go back to what pulled me down, what destroyed me spiritually, that old root of bitterness that eats away at a person like cancer. Those things are behind me. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. So he's telling each one of us to live a holy life. And we know that we cannot do it in ourselves. We're going to have to learn what the songwriter said. Take time to be holy. The world rusheth on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. And he's the one, as the more we learn to know him, the sweeter he becomes to our heart. The more that we are able to contact him in prayer and pray all the way through and sense his presence and his direction in our life, it gives us, it's like honey in the rock that just overflows. And there's something from within. It's a stream flowing out that comes from God above. No man can do it. All kinds of committees and all kinds of seminars and those things are fruitless as far as trying to produce this treasure that God alone can put in our hearts and lives. And he can do it, and he wants to, and it's for every one of us today. Be ye holy, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. And the more I see that little word, it speaks of a godly fear. And so much in the Psalms, he speaks of the one that fears God, the man that fears God. He's not talking about a man that's fearful of the wrath of God because he is transgressing, but he's talking about a man that has a godly, hallowed reverence for God and realizes the terrific power of God and in himself trembles, realizing that he's just a human being and he needs the help of God. That man that fears God and walks carefully before the Lord, he, like Pilgrim in the Pilgrim's Progress, he plugs his ears from all the suggestions that are flung from this side and flung from that side. He looks straight on and he runs with patience, a race is set before him. And one step at a time, the Lord gives him light down the narrow way. And as he takes the one step, the Lord will give him the next step. And right on all the way to glory. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much, and here's the couple of verses, it just clinches everything here. For as much as we know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world and was manifested in these last times for you. The great plan of salvation was planned clear back there in the very beginning and has been passed right on down through the ages, and all of those who put their trust in Jesus, in the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, they've not been disappointed. And he said that before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, and that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. If I had one of, I've seen pictures and I never seen, and I don't ever expect to see one of those. You've seen those pictures of those gold bricks that's in Fort Knox, if there's any there. And they store these bricks, and I don't know how much they weigh. They're not that big, but they're terrifically heavy. It's a terrifically heavy metal, and it's beautiful. And there's a lot of people would sell their souls for a lot less than a brick of gold. I don't know what one brick is worth. You can get your world books out after you go home and just look up and find out how much one of those golden bricks are, what they're worth. Probably millions of dollars. I don't know. But what would it be like to go into Fort Knox and to see rows and rows and rows of blocks of bricks of gold? I don't know how big of an area it covers. But there are many people who sell their soul for a lot less of that. Just a mess of pottage. Just for what somebody is thinking about me. I don't want them to think I'm a old fogey. I don't want them to think I'm whatever. I tell you, there's something better than gold. To have our sins all under the blood and cleansed away, and our hearts clean and ready for heaven, is something better than gold. And all the bricks of gold in Fort Knox is going to lay there until this whole world is wrapped in flames. And then the whole thing is going to be gone. A lot of people's savings accounts and all their other things that they have hid away for their what they're going to retire on, it's all going to be gone. But those who've laid their treasures up on the other side are going to go to meet the one that has prepared a place for them in that beautiful city. But it was with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb that was without blemish and without spot, that our souls have been purchased. I had to think of what Brother Jonathan mentioned this morning, and went right along with another scripture that I had there. He said the last scripture that he read was, "And ye are Christ, and Christ is God's." And then another scripture that goes right with that says, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And some tremendous decisions are laying ahead of this little congregation tonight and from there. We are not our own. We don't dare do these or make these decisions in our own mental capacity, the way that we think things, but we need to get alone with the Lord and spend much time in secret, that God will show us His will. Let's kneel in prayer.